week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani continue their discussion of Romanticism.
Yehuda Hanani, we have been studying together, you the teacher, me the student, and all of us the students, Romanticism in music. What are you bringing us today?
Well, we saw the differences, the huge range of Romantic music last week, and I want to focus now on what happened around 1790, with Beethoven acting as a glorious bridge between the two eras, Classicism and Romanticism. He started being a student of Haydn, from whom he inherited his audacity and his humor. And then he takes us into his late quartets and late piano sonatas, which are what we call late Beethoven. So the idea is to restore the term to its original meaning in order to understand better how Beethoven is the prophet and the hero of the Romantic movement. Putting an exact date on this movement is like saying that spring begins on March 21st. You know, we have a date, but it means nothing. You know, the feeling is in the air in a thousand places. A little bit of grass shows up. We hear some birds coming back, the smell of the snow melting, flowers, the daffodils are beginning to pick up. And then suddenly, before we know it, we are in the midst of spring. This is exactly what happened in the early years of the 19th century in Europe. Poets, musicians, painters, sculptors, architects, philosophers were creating works that we now know, we now accept as characteristic of Romanticism. They were all reacting to the structured and disciplined 18th century that believed that everything should be based on reason. Intellect was more important than feeling. Duty was more valuable than love. Compositional organization was more important than spontaneity. In painting, this belief was embodied in the formal academic teaching, the academic school of painting, which, in addition to rules regarding style, also had a strict hierarchy of subject matter. So, illustration for classical authors like Homer, Dante, the Bible, mythology, were on top. They were superior. Then below were portraits, and landscapes were at the very bottom. They were the least significant in the world of painting. The Romantics come in, and they turn everything upside down. With a strong movement to return back to nature, think of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, landscape becomes no longer just a cultivated view through a window or a background, but a powerful reflection of the inner state of mind of the artists, writers, poets, and musicians. Thunderstorms represent rebellion. Rain is tears. Fog is melancholy, mysticism, loss. Springtime, of course, is love. This is no longer art imitating nature, but art as an allegory of the human condition. All of nature is a mirror of the turmoil, the longing, the passion, the sorrows that take place in the bosom of the artist.
Now, there are many people, Yehuda, who will tell you that Beethoven was, of course, the master classical music person of all time.
Yeah.
There are many people who say that.
Yeah.
So does that sort of mean that this period represents the real birth of classical music?
He was the culmination of classical music early in his life. He was a student of Haydn. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, Haydn said to him, you know, I don't understand anymore what you're doing. And that's where he was going, sort of starting this bridge and joining the Romantic movement about which we are talking about now. I just want to mention a few painters to complete the picture. Turner, his misty sea and landscapes. Delacroix, violent scenes, animals and wars. Fuseli, the sinister depictions of night and nightmares. There's a painter that I always associate with Schubert myself, Caspar David Friedrich, a German painter with this gentle melancholy that always reminds me of Schubert. It's like Schubert in pigment, really. So it is through landscape that music joins the Romantic art and also literature. The first song cycle, when we think of song cycles, we think of Schubert, we think of Schumann, Brahms, but the very first song cycle was composed by Beethoven. It's called An die ferne Geliebte. to the distant beloved, and it is a series of landscapes. Beethoven is recalling very poignantly the memory of his beloved. We know the famous letter to the immortal beloved that was found only after his death, that perfect romantic document. And he writes this, the idea of a song cycle is that you take the songs and you connect them with piano, where the piano is there accompanying the singer, but the piano has more independent part and it actually links the songs together like you have a string on which pearls are strung. It was Beethoven who started this idea. And I would very much like, since the piece is very seldom played, I would very much like our listeners to get a glimpse of it. And maybe I'll read some of the lines of the poetry describing nature as the music goes on. We've never done that before, superimposing some words on the music. I hope Beethoven will forgive me for that. Kierkegaard's book, Either Or, opens this way. What is a poet? An unhappy man who in his heart harbors a deep anguish, but whose lips are so fashioned that the moans and cries which pass over them are transformed into ravishing music.
Auf dem Hüge sitz ich spähend in das blaue.
I sit on the hilltop and gaze into the misty blue land, looking towards those meadows far away where I first found you, my love.
Von dir geschieden, trennend liegen Berg und Tal zwischen uns und unserem Frieden, unserem Glück und unserer Qual.
Where the blue mountains look towards me out of the gray mists, where the sun sheds its last rays and the clouds roll by, there I would like to be. There in the silent valley, pain and anguish cease. There, where among the rocks, the primrose meditates silently, where the wind blows so softly, there I would like to be. I am driven to the pensive wood by the power of love and the anguish within. Nothing would draw me from here, if only, my love, I could be ever with you. Here we hear the sound of babbling water, which is repeated again in Schubert and Schumann in all the romantic Lieder, literature. You light clouds sailing on high, and you narrow little brook, if you can spy out my love, bring her a thousand greetings from me. And here we hear the birds chirping and trilling, the piano, the upper register of the piano. These clouds on high, this gay flock of birds, they will see you, gracious one. Oh, take me with you in your effortless flight. May is returning, the meadow is in flower, the winds blow mild and warm, the brooks flowed chattering on.
In next week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani will continue to explore Romanticism. This Sunday at 4 p.m., Couture meets backstage drama in an afternoon presented by Close Encounters with Music and The Mount, as international costume designer Charles Kane offers a behind-the-scenes look at the Met. To learn more, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.